In a world where everyone can be so judgmental, this podcast takes the time to analyze daily dilemmas and controversies and provide unbiased information and research to help you make sense of life's complicated issues. Dr. Nikki is a clinical neuropsychologist who integrates her knowledge of psychology, neuropsychology, and culture to process current events and cases in an empathic manner from various perspectives. If you are ready to become more open-minded, come be the critic on our couch.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Dr. Nikki. Hope everyone is doing well. Today's topic on the critic's couch is social media. Yes, the wonderful social media world. You know, when I first learned about social media was when I think MySpace came out. You guys remember MySpace? I tried creating a page and yeah, it didn't quite work out for me. And then Facebook came out, which was a lot more user-friendly. At that time, I had just started dating my husband and I remember trying to figure out, do I put in a relationship? It's complicated, single. I put single. That was my choice initially. Obviously, that changed later on, but I never in my wildest dreams imagined that social media would become this whole other world. Let's face it, right now we have Facebook, which quite honestly, that's for all the older folks such as myself. Your teens and 20-somethings do not use Facebook. That's my understanding. My 16-year-old daughter has made me aware of that. Of course, we all know of Instagram, which is the one that is more predominantly used by your younger population. Then, of course, you have Snapchat. That's one my 16-year-old daughter explained to me, at least her and her friends. She doesn't even use Instagram. She says everybody she knows just kind of communicates through Snapchat. No one even exchanged phone numbers anymore. I had no idea, at least in terms of that generation. Of course, we also know about Twitter. I don't have a Twitter account. I guess I'm going to have to open one up soon. I think I am. Just to really kind of become familiar with that world. I see a lot going on, comments that are made between celebrities and different people on Twitter. Kind of want to just be able to witness to that. And of course, TikTok. Oh, I remember when my daughter first started using it, it wasn't called TikTok. I think it was called Magically. And she realized that she was coming home and doing it every day and basically becoming addicted to it. And she finally got herself off it. So she hasn't gone back to TikTok, but I see all the time, all the different things that go on. And, you know, initially social media was something fun. I enjoyed it because I was able to communicate with, you know, family members of mine who did not live near me. So it's great to be able to see what my cousin in Boston is doing or what my aunt in New York was celebrating that day. And that's kind of really where I have kept it at. I know for me right now, the social media I have is really just to communicate with my family and, you know, some friends. But then it starts getting more complicated, right? I remember, you know, I still do. Sometimes you get requests. I have my account private. You have people requesting you that you don't know. Other times you may have people that you don't necessarily want to be in contact with. And of course, it gets more interesting, right? Because some people have their personal one. And then, of course, there's the business one and you have to separate the two. I right now only have a private one for personal, but I think I'm going to open one up for this particular part of my life, more particularly for the critic's couch, because I would love to hear back from you guys, some of your opinions. But yeah, we all know about the fun stuff about social media, but unfortunately, we also know about some of the negative, but we've come to realize that there's a lot more. Of course, one of the dangers that we all know about, especially, I mean, it can happen at any age, but I know we've been hearing, you know, more and more cases of some of the young ones is cyberbullying. You know, people can be pretty brave on social media. You know, people can say some pretty negative and nasty things when they don't have to face you in person. But unfortunately, cyberbullying takes it to a whole other level. It's when people are taken advantage of and mistreated in social media. There are several cases out there. One of them that sticks out is Jessica Logan, who was 18 years old at the time, and she had sent a nude photo to her boyfriend. Unfortunately, that photo went out to hundreds of teenagers in like 7 different high schools in her area in Cincinnati. The cyberbullying, you know, young men contacting her and females and just saying nasty things to her went on through to Facebook, MySpace at the time, text messages. And unfortunately, this young woman eventually ended up hanging herself. So, you know, you hear of these cases and it truly is heartbreaking. And the other factor is the invasion of privacy. You can set your account to be private, of course, which is what I've done in my personal ones. But, you know, even then, sometimes when you're going to post a picture, a lot of times you have to think and say, oh, wait a minute, am I okay with posting this picture? Do I want everybody to know about this particular event? One of the things that's also happened, and I've seen it, even though my account is private, identity theft. I've gotten recently, I got like 3 messages from 3 different sources. And that's how I knew some hacking had been going on and said, guess who died? And I didn't open it because unfortunately I have been a victim of identity theft, not through social media, but in other avenues. And so I'm kind of weary about any emails or texts like that. And I didn't open it. When I saw that, it came from 2 other individuals that didn't even know each other, I kind of realized, okay, something is going on here. But identity theft can also take place. You know, other factors to consider is just the image. The image that needs to be portrayed now in social media for many is unrealistic. Number one, most of us, all we want to see is all the happy events. Nobody really wants to see when someone's going through difficulty. So it really is unrealistic if you think in terms of what goes on in our lives. We're not happy all the time. The other fact of it is that we're, you know, concerned about in the field of psychology is just the body image. There are tons of filters out there. Why? Because people are so worried on how they're going to look on social media. We in the mental health field are already seeing a correlation between social media, the time on social media, and body dysmorphia. What is that? A body dysmorphic disorder. It's a condition where an individual becomes obsessed, if you will, about a perceived flaw in their appearance. These individuals are very self-conscious about how they look and believe that other people are constantly noticing and judging them. Now, the National Center for Biotechnology Information recently did a study looking at the influence of social media on the decision to undergo a cosmetic procedure. And what they found is that viewing cosmetic surgery-related material on social media, along with spending longer hours on social media platforms and having negative self-views when viewing social media, was associated with an increased likelihood of considering undergoing plastic surgery. Therefore, it's not surprising that during the pandemic, there was a huge increase in plastic surgery. Number one, we were spending a lot more time on social media. Let's face it, that actually became the way for people to socialize. There was, especially at the beginning, there was no other way of socialize versus, you know, just being at home or trying to communicate with people through social media. In Zoom, remember? A lot of people were doing Zoom. So it's not surprising that we saw an increase in plastic surgery. I also had read somewhere that the number one request by psychologists when an individual wants a lookalike, that they want the lips or the abs or the legs of a lookalike. I think we all know where we're headed, right? Who is the number one celebrity that individuals want to look like? If you said Kim Kardashian, you're right. And of course, we all know the Kardashians are the social media queens. And I'll actually be spending some time, an episode possibly on the Kardashians, because I know that, again, a very controversial family. But yeah, they've become mega stars simply on social media. One of the biggest factors why Kylie Jenner became a billionaire, right, at such a young age in her 20s, was instead of hiring a marketing company, she took her cosmetic product, which the first one was her lip kit, and sold it directly on social media because she had millions of followers. So the amount of money that she saved on marketing was significant, and it catapulted her into being a billionaire. But you know, this leads to so many other issues related to social media. You know, one of them being that the whole actual image, it's not realistic, the life that people lead, and also the image that they may portray. Yet, time and time again, right, we are on there looking at it. I found myself, surprisingly, I had seen a documentary by Dr. Gupta, and one of the things that was discussed was the fact that it is addictive. So not only is it misleading, it is very addictive. You know, checking and scrolling through social media has really become popular. And it's almost obsessive. We don't realize it, but the amount of time we spend just scrolling, you know, when we were bored, that's what I would do. Oh, let me see what's going on in my Instagram. Let me see what's going on in Facebook. And what we have found is that it has created a behavioral addiction. People becoming overly concerned about social media, having an urge every day when they don't have anything to do in between watching TV or studying or in the bathroom, consistently having to look at their social media. Or better yet, you are in a special event. It's your wedding, it's your birthday, whatever it may be. And it's so important now, oh, I have to hurry up and post in my social media so that everybody can see how wonderful everything in my life is right now. Well, let me tell you, I made a conscious effort not to go on my social media for a week, and it was so challenging, and I was actually taken back. And the only reason I did it, number one, because I saw the documentary that Dr. Gupta had done, and number two, when I saw, and this was accidentally because I still don't know how I did it, but when I saw my phone, my screen time, I was actually shocked about how much time I was spending online. It was something like 4 or 5 hours a week. And I'm thinking, wow, I could have done so much more with that time. But the biggest thing for me, believe it or not, was when I found out what it does to us in terms of neurological factors. So there's numerous studies out there. You can look into it. One of them that was published in Scientific Reports in March of 2017, looked at brain anatomy alterations, okay, meaning your brain changing, associated with social networking site. And in this particular study, they were looking at using the MRI scans and kind of seeing how they vary, if you will, with the degree of social network addiction. So basically, what they found is that the social network addiction was associated with more efficient impulsive brain system manifested through reduced gray matter volumes in the amygdala bilaterally. And in this regard, the social network system addiction was found to be very similar to other addictions, okay, such as substance abuse and gambling. They also show, in contrast to other addictions in which the anterior and mid cingulate cortex is impaired and fails to support the needed inhibition, which manifests through reduced gray matter volumes. Now, this is huge, ladies and gentlemen. What this is saying is that just like any other addiction, our brain gets rewired. And in particular with social network addiction, basically we lose our ability to control or impulses. That's not something I want. It really isn't. So, you know, we've talked about the various things of social media, and I'm not telling you not to have it. Heck, I'm seriously thinking of, like I said, doing one in particular for the Critics Couch, because I do want feedback from you guys. Hopefully it's constructive criticism and not negative. And I want to hear in terms of what are some of the episodes that you would want to discuss or want me to look further into. Heck, I do want to join Twitter. I may even do TikTok, okay? I'll let you know if I decide to do that and do TikTok with my kids. But I am going to give you a challenge, and you're going to see for yourself exactly what I just said. Do not use your social media. No Instagram, no Facebook, no Twitter, nothing, okay, for 1 week. I want you to, every time you're going to do that and press that little button to see what's going on, I want you to stop yourself, because I really do want you to develop some insight, some awareness as to how frequently you use social media. For those of you who are saying, oh, I'm not addicted, you're going to probably be very surprised how often you go on there. And you know what? Use that time for something, I don't want to say something more valuable, for something else. Spend some time with your family, read a good book, go outside to nature. So again, thank you for joining The Critic's Couch. I'm your host, Dr. Nikki, and I look forward to having you listen to me again. Have a blessed day.